It's time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
He'll shoot and he hits it!
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood. Welcome into the Tuesday, July 7th edition of Overtime. The run has come to a close for Team USA in this year's edition of the World Cup. Not pretty last night. Yes, you still got to be proud of the men's national team as they made their way into the round of 16. This is about where they thought they would be, where we thought they would be, despite a lot of confidence after the first couple of games. Team USA finishing right around the 16th, 14th best team in the tourney, which if you look back, if you hearken back to the days of early June when we were talking about odds, talking about previewing this year's edition of the World Cup, that's where the United States men's team was in odds. 15th, 16th, 18th best odds to win the whole darn thing. So they are who we thought they were. They didn't get off the hook last night against Belgium, but certainly a lot to be proud of. A very ugly stain of a final chapter for Team USA. We break all of that down throughout today's show, including a dedicated segment at the end of hour one, centered up on what is next for soccer in the United States. Is it going to grow? I sure hope so. And events like this, just like we saw in the hockey world recently with the Four Nations face-off, other notable events, you get that burgeoning interest in a sport. And maybe some youths are captivated by what they saw for the World Cup and what is still to come the rest of the way. Maybe an increase in interest, increase in participation. Team USA will get a little bit better. But let's be honest, people. It is not our sport. Someday, we will find a way. But not right now. There's about 10 nations better than us at minimum right now. We're working our way. I believe this was a good showing for Team USA. If you'd like to fight with me, as always, phone lines are open, 605-362-3776. I'm not saying last night was pretty, but the entirety of the tournament, I think the United States men's national team did what they thought they would do, get a little further. We'd like to see it, but into the round of 16, nice effort, nowhere near good enough last night for Team USA. We break that down here at the end of hour number one. We get going here in just a moment, headlines and highlights, and then we're talking with a new head coach in our neck of the woods. Augustana softball recently made a hire to lead up that program. Colleen Powers will be joining us in studio here in about 20 minutes for her debut on the program. And then in hour number two, headlines and highlights, latest from the NFL, update on those Green Bay Packers. If you were to highlight two, three, or four position battles worth noting in training camp this season for Green Bay, we'll dive right in. Gets you the latest on a kicker battle. Lucas Haversick still on the roster. Brandon McManus is not. But Lucas Haversick, who had a pretty decent fill-in spot duty kind of deal with Green Bay last year, he is competing with rookie Trey Smack III for the starting kicker spot in Green Bay. We'll highlight the other Packers position battles to know about ahead of training camp next month, dive into some NBA, Major League Baseball, and round out the show as always with the latest and greatest and the ugliest in the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's get to the scorecard. It was very ugly for Philadelphia yesterday in Kansas City. The Royals wallop the Phillies 15-1. Kansas City still not going anywhere fast. 37-54 is their new record. Now, Milwaukee looks every bit of a contender, a true blue title contender out of the NL Central this year. They picked up another win over St. Louis 4-3 yesterday. Brewers are 56-33. And then you got the Dodgers, who relinquished an impressive lead at home against the Colorado Rockies, pushed it to extras, and found a way in the 11th to win the game 8-7. Shohei, another big night, 3-for-4 with a walk and a homer. And that is win number 60 of the year for the LA Dodgers, who moved to 60-32. Rockies, not good, 37 and 55. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, 1:15 is the earliest game of the day. That's the Cardinals home to the Brewers. Cubs visit the Orioles at 5:35. Other matchups on the way, A's at Tigers, Royals at Mets, Red Sox at White Sox, Brewers at Cardinals, Rockies at the Dodgers at 9:10. So Brewers and Cardinals will play two today, 1:15 and 6:45. And oh yeah, Twins back in action, home to the Cleveland Guardians, 6:40 the start time, 6 o'clock pregame coverage right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. In the WNBA last night, Minnesota did not have their best effort. They did not have rookie phenom Olivia Miles in the lineup either. They fall to Connecticut 90-89. Lynx are 15-6. Tonight, we got two games in the WNBA. Wings at the Liberty, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Sky and the Mercury. Tussle from Phoenix, that is a 9 o'clock go time. Stalk NBA basketball here up next. Evan Cohen talking about the Donovan Mitchell deal. 4-year deal for Donovan Mitchell. I believe that figure $273 million. Here's Evan Cohen talking about what this deal means, not necessarily for Mitchell, but for another key player that isn't yet on the roster.
Maybe in some ways, LeBron said, get everything done. I don't want to hear about Donovan Mitchell contract stuff when I arrive there. I want to know he's here.
I do not believe we as sports fans can look at anything, the Cleveland Cavaliers, Miami Heat, Golden State Warriors, Denver Nuggets, or Minnesota Timberwolves, Philadelphia 76ers. Anything those six teams do from this moment on, outside of any prism other than LeBron's eyes.
Maybe it is a making the bed kind of maneuver for LeBron James to reunite with the Cleveland Cavaliers, which would be part three of his journey with that franchise, his hometown team. A lot of people are skeptical about that. Other better landing spots potentially out there, including Golden State, which would be one of the more fun old guys versus everybody storylines, assuming they stay as currently constructed. Draymond, Steph Curry, maybe certainly LeBron coming into town, and Jimmy Butler there would be a lot of fun. We'll wait and see on the latest on LeBron James. The latest for the Jaylen Brown trade from the Boston Celtics to the team that beat the Boston Celtics in the postseason, Philadelphia. What does it all mean? Who's to blame if this goes sideways? Here's Chris Canty.
Brad Stevens and the Boston Celtics say, yeah, you know, we want an optionality. No. That is the default. That is the silver lining in what otherwise is one of the most infamous trades that we've seen this decade in the association. It is absolutely egregious what the Boston Celtics has done. And I'm not saying it's going to be Brad Stevens, and I'm not saying it's going to be Joe Mazzulla, but eventually this is going to lead to somebody in that organization getting fired.
And again, yesterday Brad Stevens talked at length, to his credit, was very candid and said a lot of, well, I don't know what you mean by that. I don't know what you're aiming for me to say here, but did bounce back and forth with a couple reporters at a press conference in regards to how do you sell this to your fans? How do you look your fans in the eye and say getting rid of Jaylen Brown for Paul George and some picks is going to make us better right now? It's not. It's going to be interesting to see exactly what happens with Philadelphia, with Boston. If Philly ends up going on a bigger run, deeper run, winning some meaningful playoff series, maybe they're on the big stage. Don't necessarily think they'll be a front runner to do that or favored against whatever behemoth comes out of the West in the next 2, 3, 4 years. But I do think Philadelphia is better positioned today to be atop the mountain in the East than Boston is. Very interesting stuff moving forward in the NBA as this offseason just getting started and already rife with all sorts of drama. Into the NFL now, speaking of drama and incredible what-ifs. What if I told you? What if this happened? Here's a unbelievable, frankly, story from Adam Schefter about Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, and the Denver Broncos.
Sean Payton had an idea after the Patriots fired Bill Belichick to convince the Broncos owner, Greg Penner, to hire Belichick as the head coach, with Sean Payton being the assistant head coach, so Belichick could go get the 15 wins that he needed to break Don Shula's all-time wins record for an NFL head coach. Now, of course, it did not get done. It was too complicated and, as Seth said, fanciful to get done. But the fact that Sean Payton thought of that and actually considered doing it is not surprising to me, but certainly something that caught my eye.
That's pretty darn wild, the reporting from Adam Schefter. Again, if you didn't just hear it, Bill Belichick reportedly was being courted or considered by Sean Payton to become the head coach in Denver, and Payton would demote himself, in quotations, to the coach in waiting in order for him to reach that milestone and also inject him into the Denver Broncos organization. I got to tell you, honestly, in terms of all the wackadoo what-ifs we had around Bill Belichick, will he be the coach of the Falcons? Should he be the coach here, there, everywhere? Could he be a fit there? We didn't really consider that to be a possibility. Familiarity within the coaching tree, elevated into a acting head coach role. He'll get the wins and the losses on his record. Just give us all your knowledge, coach, and you're not completely and totally in charge, but we'd love to have you. We didn't really think about that. That is a very interesting storyline from the mouth of Adam Schefter here in early July. That's all for the NFL for now. A reminder on the scorecard in the PGA Tour golfing world. Next up, the Genesis Scottish Open, run last year by Chris Goddard, will run Thursday through Sunday. The Open will be running next weekend, Thursday through Sunday, July 16th through the 19th. Wimbledon action continuing right now on ESPN. On the women's side, yesterday, not a great day for the Americans. Linda Naskova defeated Madison Keys 6-4, 7-6. Fellow American Ashlyn Kruger went down by Marta Kostyuk 6-4, 6-4. And today, an American quarterfinal, Coco Gauff, took down Jessica Pegula 4-6, 6-3, 6-3. And Naomi Osaka picking up a win over Karolina Mukova earlier on today as well. Men's action yesterday, Taylor Fritz, the remaining American in the Wimbledon field, picked up a win over 10-seed Alexander Bublik 7-6, 6-4, 6-4. And earlier on today, very early in the morning, Jannik Sinner, top seed in the tournament, advancing beyond Jan Lennard Struff 7-5, 7-6, 6-3. Get you some other live scores here in a moment as we take a look at Wimbledon. We've got a four-set thriller right now, could be soon. A five-set thriller featuring Alexander Zverev right now on ESPN TV. And of course, last night in the World Cup action, yesterday afternoon, Spain and Portugal, grudge match, border battle, lived up to the billing, went into marginal bits of overtime. 91st minute where Spain got their lone goal. It was enough. 1-0, eliminating Portugal and Cristiano Ronaldo from the tournament. And Team USA, man, did we have all the drama yesterday. Balogun getting the red card suspension. He can play. Belgium challenges. FIFA says, no, thank you. He's going to play because we said so. Didn't really matter. Belgium much better than Team USA yesterday. 4-1 the final. Michelle Smallman pretty darn critical of Team USA.
There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for them not being ready from a mental standpoint because everything has been working in their favor so far this tournament. You had a favorable group draw. You have the home crowd. You had the red card on Balogun getting overturned. Everything was working in the United States' favor. This was the time that they were supposed to break past the round of 16. This was supposed to be the year that they went on a deeper run, and everything was breaking their way. So there's no excuse for them not to be ready for this match from a physical or a mental standpoint. It's a failure. No matter how you want to slice it, this is a disappointment. The United States did not meet their goal or their expectations for this tournament.
I feel like, to be honest, I agree with Michelle Smallman on that. I wouldn't say largely, but about halfway. I could say it's a failure based on what we saw early in the tournament. But if we're being matter of fact about Team USA, our pecking order in the world of soccer and football, we're about the 15th, 16th, 18th best team. At best, we're a top 12 team right now. Our feeder programs, the way we structure thing, is nowhere near what it is overseas in terms of style, in terms of who takes on financial responsibility, access to everybody in a country, etc. The United States does things differently, frankly, in the world of soccer, and we can see it on the big stage. We're good. We're winning. We're beating smaller nations. We're beating occasional powers from Europe, etc., having nice little runs here and there. But I'm going to tell you honestly, you look back to 2010, the World Cup then, 2006 World Cup, where we were scratching and clawing and hoping for draws to get out of the group stage. I was pretty proud of what I saw this year. You know, last night, no, I wasn't. But overall, I was pretty proud of what we put out there. I thought Team USA this year achieved. Did they underachieve? Heck no. Did they overachieve? No. They're about where we thought they were after last night, a 4-1 loss to Belgium. Here is Alejandro Moreno talking about what's next for Mauricio Pochettino as the head coach of the national team.
People will focus on the World Cup and the early success and will look at it and go, yeah, he did great. This team was all over the place ahead of the World Cup. And there were inconsistencies as to how this team was playing. And the reason that Mauricio Pochettino was brought into this program was to win the sort of match that they had last night, was that kind of game. The United States have been winning matches against teams like Paraguay and Australia for years upon years upon years. But in order to get you to that next level, then you get what you suspected would be a next level sort of manager. And I think we can all attest from last night's evidence that that was not the case, that this team was not ready for the big time just yet. And that lands at the feet of the manager as well.
All right, lands at the feet of the manager. That's Alejandro Moreno, ESPN soccer analyst. Team USA going down to Belgium last night, 4-1, and also feature one of the ugliest, not an own goal, but close for Team USA. Goaltender way out of the box and lost the ball. Embarrassing stuff, but Team USA goes down 4-1. Today in the World Cup, Argentina and Egypt are underway right now from Atlanta. That got underway at 11 o'clock on Fox. Argentina heavily favored to advance into the final eight. Then Switzerland, not visiting, but facing Colombia in Vancouver, 3 o'clock this afternoon on Fox, where Colombia, slight favorite in that matchup. Quick toe dip into your ReliaBank headlines of the day here. Hour number one on a Tuesday. South Dakota men's basketball and the Utah Tech Trailblazers will meet at the Sanford Pentagon. This was announced this morning. Sunday, November 22nd is going to be the date of the game. But game time, broadcast info, ticket sales finalized at a later date. USD will be participating in its 14th game all time at the Pentagon and first since 2023. So Yote fans, get the ears perked up. Go Yotes.com for the latest news and nuggets there. It'll be the third all-time meeting between Utah Tech and USD. Utah Tech is 2-0, both games being decided by 5 points or fewer, so we could be in line for a really great game coming up in late November. And lastly, Nebraska football fans will want to take note that they cleaned up yesterday. Nebraska edged Big Ten rival Penn State to their latest top 100 pledge in the 2027 class yesterday. We've got commitment from four-star wide receiver Khalil Taylor, number 71 in the SC Next 300. Taylor is a 5'11" pass catcher from Gibsonia, Pennsylvania. He's going to choose Nebraska over Penn State. And that's a big get for the Huskers as we are just around the corner, month plus away from college football season. And we are efforting Phil Steele, which, by the way, the Phil Steele College Football Preview Magazine is out. We'll be looking to link up with Phil on next week's show, talking some college football, area programs, Nebraska, Iowa, Iowa State, of course, the Minnesota Gophers as well. We'll dive in with Phil Steele, hopefully next week on the show. We'll dive into our first break now on a Tuesday. Come back and welcome a new head coach to our area. Augustana softball said so long to Greta Melsted. She took over the Minnesota Gopher softball program last month, and we got a new hire in the studio. Head coach Colleen Powers of Augustana softball joins us next on a Tuesday, July 7th edition of Overtime.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Just getting going on this Tuesday, July 7th edition of Overtime. We always like to feature the change in our area, whether it's good, bad, ugly, or otherwise. We got some change across the board. Augustana softball, we've got a coaching change. Augustana volleyball coaching change also to talk about down the line. We're very excited to welcome in the new leader of the Augustana softball program. That is head coach Colleen Powers, who is in studio. It's really cool to have you. Thanks so much for being here. How you doing?
I'm great. Very happy to be here. Feel honored and lucky to be the next head softball coach for Augustana.
And certainly we're fired up to have you. It's always cool to meet and greet the new head coaches, whether it be football, basketball, baseball, softball, or otherwise. Talk to us about yourself and what made you leap and jump at the opportunity to be the head coach at Augustana.
You know, it's an ambitious opportunity. I told the search committee in my first Zoom interview, this is not an opportunity that's ever been available to me. Mm-hmm. Last time this position was open, I was a freshman in college just competing during my college career. And what Coach Melsted has built is pretty incredible. And there's not too much that would make you leave somewhere. The grass is very green. And I've had such an amazing 13 years at St. Catherine University. And it was always a question of, you know, it has to be the right time, right place, right situation. And I really felt like every box was checked.
And certainly Augustana has a very ripe history here with softball and success. Give us your kind of coaching history. You're also a notable player. I believe you played at the University of Minnesota. Talk to us about your love of the game, when it started, all the way up through your recent coaching experience at St. Kate.
Sure. I was very lucky as a kid to have a grandpa who had season tickets to the St. Louis Cardinals games. And so I really say I grew up seven rows behind home plate. Mm-hmm. And it was always a game that my family loved. Playing, you know, growing up, I was a baseball player. It was a matter of competitiveness as well as convenience. My brother being a year younger, we could compete on the same team. And so I didn't play fast pitch until I got to high school and realized how much I loved that game and wanted to compete at the highest level. And when given the opportunity to be a Golden Gopher, I applied to one school, went on one visit, and that was where I spent my 4 years. In that time, I believe I became the person I am today and feel indebted to the game to the point where I wanted to give back and do for student athletes what my coaches were able to do for me. And, you know, they're still my biggest mentors to this day. I've called both of them in the last 24 hours, Julie Stannering and Lisa Bernstein. And, you know, decided I wasn't ready to hang up the cleats, got into coaching right away, drove 19 hours south to Canyon, Texas, where I was the graduate assistant for West Texas A&M. So my first coaching opportunity was in Division II. My next stop was at Central Michigan University as an assistant coach in Division I. And then I missed home. So I relocated back to the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, where I was doing camps, clinics, private lessons, coaching high school ball. And the opportunity in Division III dropped in my lap. And I had a life-changing conversation with the athletic director at St. Kate's, and was able to take over that program and within 3 years be competing for a national championship down in Oklahoma City. We were very lucky that year. The site was one of the most beautiful fields in the country at OGE Energy Stadium. In Oklahoma City, I believe that Augustana has the most beautiful field in the country currently. Mm-hmm. I was very lucky to watch a practice on it today. And again, very, very grateful to call that home.
And certainly it's a place that invests in women's sports, softball. The history foundation has been laid. You touched on it a bit about Coach Melsted and just the overall program and where it is today. But what is the general vibe, if you will, to borrow the young kids term? What are the vibes like around the program as you step foot here, as you're looking to raise the bar, build on that foundation? But what do you view about the vibes of Augie softball that inspires you right now?
I'm going to piggyback off of what the kids say, and I'll say the vibes are electric. I have had several life-giving conversations, whether it's virtual, FaceTime, in person, with the current team. By the end of the day tomorrow, I will have met with everyone. Some of their families have joined in. And, you know, when you talk about where a culture is at, they are right where they need it. They have team chemistry. They're accountable. They compete well. They win. Their offense is powerful. So they have what it takes culture-wise. They have what it takes talent-wise. And where those two things meet in the middle, that's where the magic happens, and that's where you win championships. So I'm very lucky to be taking over a program that's in a very unique place because they already work well and they win.
Augustana Vikings softball. New head coach Colleen Powers is our guest here. Tuesday edition, July 7th edition of Overtime. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO. Now we'll dive into the hot button, the rapid fire questions in a moment, but your coaching style. Tell us about who you are. Who you are on the diamond, how fired up you can get, if you're a certain style, small ball, bump and run. Tell me a little bit about your coaching style, what people would like to see and what people will expect to see come next season for you.
Sure. I coach with passion and purpose. I have a lot of energy and enthusiasm and excitement when it comes to competing. Big time philosophy in the game of softball. You hit and run to score, you pitch and defend to win. I'm aggressive. I want to teach my players to think like coaches. I believe I'm inheriting a lot of players that already think like coaches. And that way on game day, I sit on the sidelines after writing a lineup. I clap my hands and I can be their stop sign, not their gas pedal. I want them to be thinking 120 feet and be exciting and explosive as an offense, and then be a steel curtain on defense. Our infielders are communicating. They're talking. They're playing big. Our outfielders are a no-fly zone. our pitchers are sharpshooters and our catchers are field generals. Like, it is just, it's going to be a fun environment to step into. And also ask those players what the style is that they know works, because that's one thing I know stepping in. My job is not to reinvent the wheel. My job is to keep a really great program great and bring another national championship home to Augustana.
And we're talking Augustana softball. New head coach is Colleen Powers in studio. Another question that people might be interested about is, you know, your recruiting and portal philosophy. Recently, I'm sure you're aware, South Dakota sanctioned softball. We're a couple years into that, so that's growing the game outside of the travel ball normality that we've seen in this area. But what do you think that is doing for every girl across our state of South Dakota? The visibility for them, but then in addition to that, what's your recruiting philosophy? What kind of players do you want? And the portal is always at the forefront of everybody's mind these days. How are you guys going to attack and approach the transfer portal?
Absolutely. Well, first and foremost, my biggest mission is to keep the best players from South Dakota in South Dakota, Augustana. And that's going to be, you know, I'm going to launch into contacting all the high school coaches, the club ball coaches, getting out and being present in as many tournaments, you know, watching and learning and getting to know people as possible. Beyond that, I have great networks in the Twin Cities area, as well as some of the West Coast areas. And I would love to bring, you know, those contacts into the excitement of coming on campus at Augustana. The philosophy is going to change because in Division III, I'm casting a wider net. In Division II, I'm going to be able to, you know, offer scholarship money, as well as have the opportunity to bring people to a first-class degree, an amazing campus full of support from this community. And so as far as my philosophy on the transfer portal, in order to stay competitive, it's always going to be something that, you know, I dabble in and I look to potentially. But one of my strong suits, I believe, is growing young leaders from 18 to 22. I would love to continue my style of getting to know players in their sophomore and junior year, and then making them an offer and having them sign in their senior year, and then having them compete here at Augustana for 4 years.
It's a very exciting future ahead for Augustana softball. New head coach is Colleen Powers in studio right now on a Tuesday edition of Overtime. We're going to get you, 11 rapid-fire questions. Easy stuff, hard stuff, thought-provoking things. Are you ready to rumble here?
Let's go.
All right. First one is a layup here. Coke or Pepsi, what's your preference between those two?
We are a Pepsi school. I'm going to go Diet Pepsi.
Diet Pepsi. Hey, that's a strong one. How about this? How about there's a little bit of difference here. I'm going to ask you back-to-back questions that could be viewed as similar. First one, pregame ritual. What is something you have to do before heading out onto the diamond?
Sit on the field before anybody gets there.
All right. So you're not eating grass like Les Miles. You're not doing anything funky like that. Sitting on the field before anybody else gets there. Maybe meditating like J.J. McCarthy. Who knows? Superstitions as a player, as a coach. Do you have any, and what are they, if you can share?
Before every season, I read the same poem to my team. And then every new phase of the season, I read it one more time.
Mm.
So when we get to the conference tournament, they get one more round, regional, super regionals, and a World Series. So they max out at 5 times. They get to hear this poem.
All right. I'm excited to ask you. I don't know if we have time for a poem recital, but I'm excited to talk about that because I got something over here. It's really darn similar. How about a favorite or go-to pregame meal? What do you think?
I'll stop for a coffee. I got to get a new local coffee shop. So we'll do something iced, even if it's a freezing cold day.
All right. So we got a lot of great coffee shops here in town. How about road trip go-to? I'm going to ask you this. I ask every coach, if you're on a bus, on a plane, are you podcasting? Are you watching film, listening to music? Are you doing nothing? Are you talking to players? What's your go-to on a road trip or a plane ride?
I get to the bottom of my inbox for my email.
That would take my wife a decade. She's got thousands and thousands. I can't have anything read on my phone. I got to get rid of it immediately. So I feel that one. How about a dream vacation for you? What comes to mind?
Let's go to Ireland.
All right. Back home. Back home, if you will, to Ireland. How about hobbies? What keeps you busy in an off season? Are you a golfer, pickleballer, tennis player? Is there anything else that keeps you busy athletically or otherwise? Maybe a hobby like reading. What do you think?
Long walks with my dog. CrossFit and triathlon training.
All right, triathlon training. And I did note that in your intro article, a triathlete in the past, hopefully the future. I'm also trying to, at some point, get back in shape and do something cool like that. Another sport, could be triathlon, I'll count that, that piques your interest. Are you really adept at any other sport out there, whether it be basketball, anything outside of softball? What do you think?
I'm going to go with, I was a four-sport athlete in high school. I would love to get on the ice at Midco and play a little hockey.
There you go. I'm sure they'd love to have you. Let's talk about an at-bat right now. I tailor this to the sport. hey, you run down to the YMCA, you're in a pickup basketball game, what's your stat line? But if you hopped in to a lineup facing down Augie's best pitchers right now, how do you do? You get five at-bats. What's your stat line look like?
3 for 5.
Oh.
Because I'm crafty. I have great bat control. And I'll call myself a triple threat. I can drop a drag. I can punch a single through the 5-6 hole. And I'll go gap to gap, too.
All right. Still got it. Still got it. How about a very important one, dogs or cats? What do you think?
100% dogs.
All right. That's 100% the correct answer. Tell me about your dog quickly. What kind of dog do you have?
I have a Boston Terrier. He's 5. He's my best friend. And I named him after my favorite movie, The Sandlot. His name is Squints.
Oh, I love that. Squints, the dog. Lastly, most important question. Everybody's got a big opinions. We talked a little bit about this off air. What are your sports allegiances? You're from Minnesota. I got a bunch of green and gold Packer stuff in here. You don't seem to be too riled up or ticked off about it. What are your sports allegiances? What's your favorite sport, favorite teams, regardless of sport?
Favorite team is the St. Louis Cardinals. I also love the Minnesota Twins, and a big plug. This is Twins territory in South Dakota. I work part-time as a clinician for the Twins Community Fund, and I would love to bring a few more summer clinic offerings to the kids in South Dakota.
Hey, they would love that. We host the Twins Caravan. This is the Treasure Island Radio Network right here as well. That is new Augie softball head coach Colleen Powers. I think you aced the rapid fire stuff. It's great to have you, and we will talk again real soon. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is the future of the Augustana softball program. Head coach Colleen Powers. You can read the bio. You can also listen back to this interview later on today on the podcast. But read the bio, goaugie.com. Future very bright for Augustana Viking softball. Goaugie.com. When we come back, World Cup Rewind. What is next for Team USA, the U.S. men's national team, after last night's embarrassing loss? Yes, not humiliating, but a little embarrassing. 4-1. We'll dive into what is next, what needs to happen internationally and domestically for Team USA to succeed. Look at the odds for the handful of teams remaining in the tournament. So much more on the other side of this brief break. It's hour one on a Tuesday edition of Overtime, and it continues after this.
Too. It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Tuesday edition of Overtime. In studio guests, always a blast here in the studio. And moments ago, we talked all things Augustana softball. New head coach, very impressive. New head coach for Augie, Colleen Powers, just in here and out of here in a hurry. You can listen back to that podcast as soon as this hour goes final. We're about 15 minutes from that, ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Or easier than that, on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Well, the World Cup bracket, we have 6 of the 8 teams finalized for the round of 8. We'll see Norway face England. We'll see France take on Morocco, Spain meeting Belgium. And on the other side today, we'll see Argentina take on Egypt. That's underway right now. Switzerland and Colombia, the final 2 spots to be claimed in the round of 8. Also, Wimbledon action continuing right now. Novak Djokovic, a guy who is very used to championship level play, deep runs at Wimbledon, facing off with Felix Auger Alisimi. Doing my best on that name. ESPN TV right now. Also wanted to tell you real quickly about the 12th annual Classic Car Show coming up at Coin Bank, and also featuring Too Drunk to Fish, live music, free food, and so much more. 5700 South Remington Place in Sioux Falls coming up tomorrow night, 6 to 8 p.m. Again, that address, Coin Bank, South Dakota, Hands and Voices, 5700 South Remington Place. Be a part of that fun, the Classic Car Show, 12th annual Classic Car Show coming up tomorrow night from 6 to 8 p.m. But let's talk World Cup right now. Dive into odds here in just a moment on the teams that are still remaining in the field. But let's talk about game one yesterday first. An emotional Cristiano Ronaldo said that he had a, quote, clear conscience as he exited his final World Cup as Portugal was eliminated 1-0 by rival Spain in the round of 16 in Arlington, Texas, just yesterday. Spain's Mikel Merino scored the only goal of the game in the first minute of a second half stoppage time, 91st minute technically, to send Spain to the quarterfinals at the expense of their other Iberian Peninsula rivals. Following the final whistle, a visibly emotional Ronaldo wiped tears from his eyes as he applauded the fans at Dallas Stadium. 41-year-old's World Cup career ends with 27 appearances, the second most behind Argentina's Lionel Messi, who has 30, without one major trophy missing from his collection, confirmed to reporters afterward. It was his final World Cup, but has not yet closed the door on appearing for the national team again. I'm sad to leave the World Cup this way, he said. As I said yesterday, I gave it my all, and I leave with a clear conscience. That is the life of a footballer. You have to move forward. Ronaldo and Team Portugal crushed by an extra minute stoppage time goal, 1-0 by rival Spain as they are ousted from the tournament. There was certainly a lot of drama and buildup and debate into last night's World Cup match for Team USA. Everybody fired up, ready to rumble. Flo Balogun back in the lineup after a suspended, very much controversially suspended red card. He was in. Was it going to be enough? Belgium took an early lead. Team USA equalized. 2-1 lead for Belgium. And then in the end, it was a 4-1 final. Even with full Aaron Bolt Balogun back in the lineup, the United States men's national team crashed out of the World Cup in the round of 16 once again. According to ESPN.com, it was a meek ending to a month-long surge for Team USA as Belgium dominated the Americans and silenced a once raucous crowd at Lumen Field in Seattle. 4-1 was the loss. It was the fourth time in the past 5 World Cups that the Americans exited at this stage. The only exception was in 2018 when they did not qualify. Belgium also sent the U.S. home from the 2014 World Cup, but that contest, which went to extra time, felt much closer than this one. U.S. coach Mauricio Pochettino told reporters post-game, "We were not the same team that during the tournament showed the quality. Very bad day. Wasn't our day in a collective and individual way, and we need to accept that. Sometimes this type of thing happens. But in a tournament like the World Cup, when that happens, you don't have another chance, especially when you reach the knockout stage." It was a bulletproof start to the tournament for Team USA. A lot to be proud of, a lot of chest pounding, a lot of, hey, this is a surprising team. Could they go on a deep run? And a lot of people took the cheese, took the bait, and ran with it. And frankly, I was guilty of that too. But after the Bosnia matchup, Balogun's red card, you feel like, oh, I don't really know what to expect here. And let's be matter of fact and clear about last night. As disappointing as it was, 4-1 loss, a brutal third goal allowed by the goaltender coming out too far, double thinking about a pass and then stepping back, having it stolen away, kicked into the net, lackluster effort across the board. Regardless of all that, you come into last night's matchup with Belgium. That is a team historically and entering the tournament that would beat Team USA more times than not. Not a lopsided, not a juggernaut that we don't have a chance against, but that's a team that is at or better than Team USA's level. So I'm going to put on my retrospective glasses right now and say, I'm not all that disappointed. I had an absolute blast rooting this team on. And frankly, this is about where we thought they'd be. Had they won last night, we'd be fired up to be in the final eight. But frankly, I don't know if we're top eight material right now. And that has a lot to do with the investment, the culture around the sport in this country relative to pretty much every other country involved. It is in most of these countries, I'm no expert internationally, but most of these countries, soccer is number one. If not number one, then number two, and could be even construed as a 1A, depending upon where you are. Again, I'm not an expert across all of these countries, but most of them are soccer crazy countries. And the United States is not that. You talk about kids at a foundational level, everybody loves to have their kids in soccer and t-ball in this country. That's great. But the amount of investment, the hurdles to that investment of getting in, travel ball, quality of programs from sea to shining sea in terms of high school, college investment, it's not really close or doesn't feel close to our international compatriots here. So when you lay out the foundation and the groundwork and talk about what Team USA did this year, who they were, what they could be, I feel like we're about where we thought we'd be. But we got so excited as fans do. It's kind of like going on a deep playoff run when you're a six seed. You win a game or two and then you lose in the title game and you say, oh man, that's brutal. We stink. No, you don't. I think Team USA did about what we thought they would. Maybe a disappointing finish, kind of a floundering finish down the line. But overall, personally speaking, very much proud of what we put out there. Maybe not last night entirely, but for the entirety of the tournament, the way we were so dominant to start, this was a very fun World Cup from a USA perspective. And I'll challenge you out there. If you're not the world's biggest soccer fan, or if you were a Team USA or die kind of fan so far, stay invested. See what happens with your sports fandom. You don't have a whole lot else going on in the calendar right now through the middle of the month of July. You may as well pour in. See what you can figure out about these other nations, favorite players, storylines, etc. Lot to root for remaining. And again, we're down to 10 teams right now. We'll have 8 teams remaining by the end of the day. Lot to love about the World Cup and where we're going from here. But where are we going as far as a head coach goes? Mauricio Pochettino would not offer an indication about whether he wants to remain as the coach of the United States men's national team following the Americans' exit from the World Cup last night after being dominated by Belgium 4-1. The U.S. has been eliminated at the round of 16 stage in 4 of the past 5 World Cups. And saying in his post-game news conference, now is not a moment to talk about that. I think now is a moment to see, to assess the tournament. You know, I'm sure in the next few weeks we can start to talk if U.S. soccer wants to talk. Pochettino's contract expires after this tournament, and U.S. soccer has reportedly approached him about a possible extension before the World Cup began. It is unclear whether Pochettino would like to remain in a national team setting or return to top-level club soccer. We'll see about the future, what it holds for the coach and the program, but I'll be honest with you, this is kind of banging your head on the ceiling where we are right now. The round of 16. This is a different format this year. This is the most robust tournament we've ever seen in terms of number of participants, a new style emerging, the round of 32, the round of 16. A little bit different this time around across the board. It will likely stay this way or grow depending upon where it is in 4 years. But you feel like Team USA is a good, respectable national team. Are we an elite team? Are we a contender? No, we're not there yet. And frankly, we're not really doing much sniffing around that. We've got a lot of talent. We've got a lot of talented youngsters on their way up in the pipeline in this country. We'll see where we go in the soccer world. Frankly, though, I feel good. I don't feel great, but I feel good about Team USA staying at this level, maybe getting to an Elite Eight, if you will, moving forward in the World Cup. It's a disappointment the day after, of course, but frankly, I feel pretty darn decent about where we are on the world stage and how we performed on the world stage through the entirety of this year's World Cup. And again, Team USA ousted last night by the hands of Belgium, 4-1, your final. So what is the best bet for the remainder of the World Cup this time around? France is your best bet by a mile, plus 175, nearly, actually, matter of fact, doubling the odds of Spain, plus 350. England's plus 450. Argentina, plus 600. Those are your 4 favorite horses. Your bargain bin, Norway, which I would encourage a lot of people, if you're shopping around for a nation to root for, boom, boom, roll. I would be all in on Norway right now. 5th best odds, and Erling Haaland is certainly a very easy personality to root for. Colombia in action today. They're plus 2,000, 6th best odds remaining. Morocco, Belgium, Switzerland, and Egypt. The rest of the field right now, that's your top 10. That is the 10 teams remaining. France, Spain, England, Argentina heavily favored to move on and win the whole darn thing. There you go. For the World Cup, a rewind. What's next for the U.S. men's national team? Coaching-wise, we do not know. We'll see. If I had to handicap it at home, I would think Pac would be back to lead Team USA, but I can't promise that for 4 years from now at the World Cup. We'll just have to wait and see as we're kicking the can as far as Team USA goes to 2030. Be here before we know it, I'm sure. We'll take a break. That's hour number one on a Tuesday, July 7th edition of Overtime. When we come back, resetting at the top of the hour, headlines and highlights on the way, NFL news, best and worst rosters in the National Football League. It is the darkest hour of the NFL offseason. Very limited news items are out there. So they are putting out lists and rankings. Best running backs, best cornerbacks, best rosters. I'm interested about the rosters. Where's Green Bay? Where's Kansas City? How about Denver? Where's Minnesota? Too high, too low, or just right? We answer those questions and more in a busy hour number 2 around the corner on a Tuesday edition of Overtime.